Hello, Lifebook members. John Butcher here. I'm so excited about this podcast because I've got my friend Garrett Gunderson on the line with me today, our financial advisor, our money guru. Garrett, how you doing, man?
And John, my life guru, my step my game up and my marriage guru, dude, Lifebook was a game changer. I've been through it twice. I went through it right as my book hit the New York Times. I was in the middle of like way too much business, not enough pleasure. Like my marriage was mediocre. My health wasn't what it should be. And dude, as you know, because I sent you sexy ass pictures, because I went to the John Butcher date night pad and it had some sexy John Butcher flexing pictures. And I was like, I'm doing that. So I got my own little sex pad for me and my wife. I put pictures up and I sent them to you. And you said, my financial advisor can kick your financial advisor's ass, because that's what I got. I got all yoked, man. So you're an inspiration and a friend.
Oh, man.
I'm excited, brother.
That's so awesome, Garrett. Well, you know, you've had a profound effect on our life, and we've talked about you to Lifebook members for years and years. So, you know, not many people have had a big effect on my financial philosophy, Garrett. I've learned a lot of financial strategies. I've learned financial moves from a lot of people, but fundamental philosophical financial premises, you know, I've been pretty set in my ways there for about 20 years, and you really shifted a couple important things. One very, very important thing that you taught me, and that I've gone on and shared with Lifebook members, is never ever invest in anything you don't know, because the risk is not in the investment. The risk is in the investor. What may be a perfect investment for one person is the absolute wrong one for another person, and vice versa. And that's what I really learned. So my entire financial and investment philosophy changed after you and I spent a couple years together. And I really appreciate that, Garrett. It always makes me feel so good to hear again how much Lifebook impacted your life, because you've had a profound impact on ours too. And that's the way it's supposed to work, right? We're all supposed to be helping each other in this life.
Totally, man. I remember I walked into your guys' house. It was like this beautiful art gallery, but with a pulse. And then I remember we're talking and you're all stressed out at we're having breakfast at the Four Seasons. And I'm like, what are you stressed out about, dude? You're like, my 401k is getting hammered. And I was like, dude, your 401k is like 1/100th of your net worth. Why are you even putting money into that thing? You've got this beautiful artwork. You know how to buy art. You know how to find the right art. You know when to hold and sell the art. I'm like, that's an investment. That's a John Butcher investment. And then I went in and I saw this wine collection you had, and I said, plus you could just buy wine. And then if it doesn't work out, you drink it. You forget all about your problems, dude. It's a great plan. You know, you don't get that advice from just any financial advisor.
You
John.
Don't.
No.
And I will tell you literally from that weekend, my financial life changed. I never have bought another stock since then. All I have focused on is what I really, really know how to invest in. And there's not many things. Contemporary art is one of them. And so that was a profound shift. Garrett, I want to
like an E200 company, like a company that's done 11 billion in sales. Like, I'm like, yeah, cool. Go invest in these other jackasses stocks. You're the man, dude. You got this powerhouse brain. Just do it, man. You got it dialed in.
People need that information, Garrett. And that's why I'm excited to talk about the following on this podcast. So I'm going to just give a little bit of backstory. So I've known Garrett for a lot of years, and I was surprised one year, I forgot how long ago this was, but you know, Garrett is not, he's a friggin' financial guru. He's spent his career studying wealthy people and how they manage their money. He's helped thousands of people over his career, you know, create more wealth and keep more of their wealth, which is the super important thing. And he's built a serious reputation, best-selling author, et cetera, et cetera. So he's helped so many people over his career, and he's built this reputation as a financial guru. But he took me aside and told me, John, you know what my real passion is? You know what my real dream is? I want to be a stand-up comedian. I'm like, what did you say? What? And he said, no, I'm serious. I'm not joking. I want to be a stand-up comedian. And I said, dude, wow, what are you going to do? And well, Garrett, you tell the story.
Yeah, man. So I don't know if you remember one time, it was like me, you, Joe Polish, David Bach hanging out at your house, and we're watching some stand-up comedy after dinner. And you're like, I love stand-up comedy. So I was like, cool, I'll tell John this thing deep down in me that like every now and again I go speak and I make people laugh while I'm speaking. I tell my wife, I'm like, babe, I should do stand-up. Like, these people are laughing all the time. She goes, babe, you're not as funny as you think you are. Like, you're making money. Of course they're going to laugh at you. Like, they're being nice. And then we went to Italy for the summer, which is probably like a half credit to you, because every time I'm hanging out with you, you're traveling the world. I'm like, all right, we're going to go spend the summer together in Italy, which gave me a lot of time to think. And I didn't do much business while I was over there. I just really immersed in the lifestyle. When I came home, we're celebrating my birthday at this baseball game, and I kept making my wife laugh. And she's like, where are you getting these jokes? I'm like, from my own brain. And she's like, not bad. And then my buddy Keith, I spoke at his event that Sunday, and he kept telling everybody I was hilarious when he was introducing me. I'm like, dude, I'm giving a 45-minute financial talk. He keeps telling people I'm hilarious. So I told some jokes. They went well. So I just called my other friend, who's a comedian, and said, all right, man, I'm ready. I'm going to do stand-up. Let's get together tomorrow. I've got some ideas. And we went through the ideas, and I did stand-up and invited like six rows of friends, and it went well enough. He goes, dude, you're now my opener. Well, 2 years later, I'm opening for their comedy special, and this manager, Barry Katz, is in the room, who's managed Chappelle and Jon Stewart and Bill Burr and Louis C.K., just a huge list of comedians. And he goes, what are you doing with this? I'm like, I'm just having fun. He goes, well, what if you had fun and helped people? Like, nobody knows money in this game. He goes, they talk politics, which you're not supposed to talk about. They talk religion, which isn't supposed to be a topic, but the comedians always do it. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to be the court jester of finance. I'm going to tell the truth about money, telling jokes, because people remember three times more when they're laughing. Well, they also say you learn three times more when someone scares the shit out of you, but I figure it's better to make them laugh, John, than to scare them. So, dude, and here, check this out. Just barely did a comedy set at the Comedy Store, and Peter Scott was there, who you introduced me to.
Oh my God, Peter. Yeah.
Peter used to work on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Then he worked for Lifebook. And he just told me, he goes, dude, my wife and I had the most transformational 2-hour conversation after your show about money.
Wow.
Never. So like, dude, they laughed. I got a standing ovation, but they learned. And that's the key. It's like, I want to make it funny first and foremost, because it is an addiction. It is so damn fun, but it's also memorable for the people that come. And so we're making a movement. I want to plant a seed of hope and connection and expression in the hearts of people, so they heal their relationship with money and end up having a life of artistry. Dude, you're an artist, man. And the way you live that way is inspiring. And I want other people to find what that is for them, whether it's Missy out in the garden, whether it's you guys playing music, whether it's you guys buying art, whether it's you guys creating art. Like people have that in them, but they're just stuck because they're scared and fear, doubt, and worry around their money and frustrated about the economy. And I'm like, no, we don't have to have those fears. When you conquer your money kind of persona, and when you really figure out how money works and conceptually and philosophically, it just changes the game. So I'm here to change the game and have a damn good time doing it.
That's amazing, Gara. And you have helped us change the game. That is really the truth. So Lifebookers, I want you to know, I really consider Garrett like the model Lifebook member. He was a badass when he went through, I don't know, 12 years ago, Garrett, probably, when he went through the first time. He was a badass. He had a multi-million dollar company. He was on the rise, New York Times bestseller. But there were a couple areas of his life that weren't quite where he wanted him to be. He turned those areas around like nothing I've ever seen. Well, I shouldn't say that, but as well as I've ever seen it done. And those areas were love and health. I mean, Garrett, you got shredded. You took your relationship with Carrie to the next level. You took your parenting to the next level. And then a few years later, you decided this is the thing that impresses me the most. You decided to take the friggin' leap, sell your multi-million dollar company, and go on the road as a stand-up comedian, because that was your life vision. And to me, that's like, you're the model Lifebooker, living the dream. That's what we're supposed to be doing, man.
Dude, it's crazy, because I got my relationship so dialed in that one of our mutual friends, Joe Polish, was asking for relationship advice, which he needs it, so as you know. So I'm giving it to him. And all of a sudden he goes, hey, man, I'm just going to have you stand up and share with the Genius Network, like, some of these ideas. And it caught on so much. He had me speak on relationships at the national event. Then this guy, Jason Garnard with Mastermind Talks, had me speak on it. All of a sudden, dude, I'm out there talking about love relationship, which was the most mediocre category.
And amazing. It was,
you know, you guys were a huge catalyst in that. And so that's what's possible when you go through premise, vision, and purpose and strategy. That's what's possible. And the problem is, most people's premise around money isn't clear, and their vision is not only foggy, it's not actually even a worthy vision. The vision to retire means that you don't have a life that you love. It means you're retiring from all the things that you hate. And when you can create something that's consistent with who you are and understand money's a byproduct of that vision and that value, you live a more prosperous life, you add more value, more money comes your way, and you have more capability to do things like live in Hawaii or spend a summer in Europe, because the value creators make the most, but most people don't know how to create value at the highest level because they're stuck in the noise of the world, because they don't have a proper premise, because other people tell them what they should do and they didn't listen to themselves because they weren't clear about those things. And that's why I know you remember, I hosted a Lifebook session for my clients. That's how much I believed in Lifebook. I flew to Chicago, brought in a group of clients. We took them through. I've obviously referred people over the years because it's one of those things that when people have that, then all of a sudden it starts to manifest in their life. And so, yeah, to have a vision, you know, of a career in stand-up at age, I don't know, I was like 38, 39 years old, never done it before, to being picked up by an executive producer that won an Emmy with Seinfeld and did specials with Chris Rock and Robin Williams and George Carlin, was because I followed that formula. And by living that formula, I know other people can do it. And also, I know that I can help them fund it. I know where they can find the money, plug the financial leaks, not pay too much in tax.
Exactly.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
And you've helped me find a lot of money too in our relationship, Garrett. And I really do appreciate that. So I'm gonna just tell Lifebookers real quick what you're doing. You're getting ready to embark on a 15 city tour, Garrett?
Yeah, man. I'm doing a 15 city tour, and where Lifebook got its start in Chicago is coming up, and they want me to do.
What's the Chicago date?
September 27th at Zany's downtown.
All right.
Yeah, man. If people go to GarrettGunderson.gg, Garrett Gunderson, GarrettGunderson.gg, and they can click to get tickets in any of these cities. And because you're part of Lifebook, I'm just going to give you the friends and family. We owe the club $20. So do FF20 as in friends and family 20 at checkout. And it's $20 to attend. That's it. And look, man, I'm an expensive speaker. You know, like $25,000 was the last fee I got to speak. You're not going to see me speak for $20. And the thing is, you're going to have a good time and then it's going to be over. And you're going to be like, oh, damn, I just learned something. How the hell did that happen?
Well, listen, this is what I want to talk about, because you have got this idea that I think is so cool. So basically, Garrett's doing a 15-city tour. He's doing the comedy show that evening. And then the next 2 days following that is a full-on financial workshop. And so you can do the package, and Garrett will talk about the special offer he's going to make for only Lifebookers.
Only. There's no one else getting this, just Lifebookers in the whole world. And so, yeah.
But
you're persuasive, dude. You're persuasive. What am I going to say?
Of course. Here's what I'd love to do on this call, Garrett. I'd love for you to just talk for a little bit about some of the content that you share in that money workshop, specifically around the four personas, because I think Lifebookers would really, really love this. Guys, if you can go support Garrett at his comedy shows, at the workshop, that's fantastic. If you can't, Garrett's going to talk to you right now about the four money personas and how you can identify which one you are and move up the spectrum of financial health. Take it away, Gigi.
Yeah, and you can even go to GarrettGunderson.com/quiz and find out which of these four personas you are, no charge. So here's the deal. These four personas, I can predict the financial mistakes, pitfalls, and, you know, issues that people are going to face, because it dictates our financial decisions based upon what bucket we're in. But there's two different ways to utilize a persona. There's the winning way and the shadow way. And so the first shadow persona is the miser. The miser plays a game called preservation. They end up with funds that they simply, well, they're not going to spend because they're addicted to holding on to what they've got. Misers are, you know, they're like, they're the type of people that don't value their time enough. They pinch pennies, they try to reduce, they budget, they scrimp, they save, they sacrifice overall. So people that are in that miser persona never get to enjoy money. They wrote a book about misers called The Millionaire Next Door. Sure, you could become a broke, miserable millionaire that never spends money and then have your kids blow it after you die, because it's not the best way to live. Now, let me talk about the next shadow persona. It's the conservative, not a political affiliation. The conservative is playing the game called accumulation. And they'll end up with funds that they're scared to spend because they're just worried if they're ever going to have enough. See, the conservative is a hesitant, they're anxious, and they're kind of like a know-it-all. But ultimately, they delay gratification and happiness because it's all about what they can set aside at the expense of living today. Both of those, the miser and the conservative, are in a form of scarcity, which is the greatest destroyer of wealth, called play not to lose. hold it because someone else might take it. You know, like I got to reduce my expenses. It's all about lowering lifestyle, which actually no one shrinks their way to wealth. So it actually lowers their chances of ever being wealthy. And even if they have money, they never enjoy it. The other two shadow personas are the striver, who plays the game called status. And they, you know, they're probably going to burn out more than likely. They think they could just work harder in order to make more money. But eventually that starts to take a toll on their health and they end up, you know, spending optimism. They get overextended and they have no quality of life, which is why they need to go to Lifebook. The fourth one is the high roller, who plays a game called opportunity. They cut corners. They take unnecessary risk. They're addicted to the deal, but a lot of times they win big and lose big. And a lot of times they're like a $30,000 millionaire, like all hat and no cattle. And so these four shadow personas are not going to lead people to a life of prosperity, abundance, or value creation. It's going to limit their potential as a human being. But the good news is there's the winning personas, and there's a formula to follow the winning personas. Instead of being a miser, you can become a mindful manager. The mindful manager becomes resourceful. They're great in enhancing ideas and improving things and reducing waste. You know, the mindful manager is simply instrumental to any organization that really wants to be able to like find better ways to do something. They want to keep more of the money that they make. They want to learn to be more efficient. The conservative, on the flip side, their winning persona becomes the planner. The planner is a stable, thoughtful, and strategic person. They're instrumental for any organization that wants to reduce risk and monitor the effectiveness of any initiative and build out performance to know what bandwidth an organization has. If you have a mindful manager or planner and you're an entrepreneur, you're going to have more success. Now, the striver becomes the creator. The creator is the artist. They're the entrepreneur. They're really the inventor. And they lead with innovation and ingenuity. And they show people ways to invent new things, build better ways to do it. And it is absolutely critical for the growth of any society. The high roller becomes the catalyst. The catalyst is, well, they're a mover and shaker. They're a visionary. They're a connector. They think and play big, and they show us ways we can all win together. So when you understand your winning persona and how to avoid your losing persona, you're going to accelerate the results of your wealth, where it isn't a 30-year game of hoping for the best and missing out on memories and waiting for retirement to finally enjoy life. You get to live the John and Missy lifestyle of having quality of life along the way while still building wealth when you embrace your winning persona. And that winning persona happens when we learn to properly co-create, where we learn to properly delegate roles instead of tasks so that we offload things and create space for our winning game, and collaborate, because there's too many people that have holes in their financial life. They don't have the right accountant or attorney or investment advisor or cash flow specialist. And so what they do is they do too much on their own, or they neglect those things, and money inadvertently leaks out of their pockets into financial institutions, into insurance companies, you know, into the banks, and into Wall Street instead of into your own life. And so, not that I have any passion for this, John, but dude, it is like so game changing when people have the recognition of who they really are and what they're capable of.
Okay, so this is what I want to point out, you guys. At Lifebook, we have, you know, one of our most important philosophical premises is there is no one size fits all solution for everybody in any area of life. There is no one way, one magic bullet. You've got to, because we're all different. We've all got different wants, needs, desires, talents. We've all got different ways we process things. And the road to success and happiness and fulfillment is going to be different for every single one of us. Garrett, you're the first financial advisor that I've ever had that recognizes the difference in people and doesn't try to push the same damn product or the same damn strategy on everybody that you meet. And so that's one of the things I really appreciate about you.
Thanks, man. And, you know, I wish I was always that dialed in and enlightened. But when I started in financial services in 1998, I was a product peddling mutual fund life insurance salesman. I was one size fits all. Hey, I'm a hammer. You're a nail. Here's what you should do. And then the year 2000 came, the market starts to go down. And I didn't want to tell people the same stuff like, oh, you're not for the long haul. The long haul. You don't ever hear that about anything good, John. Sounds like condolences or something you would never want to hear from a mechanic or a dentist. Why the hell do you want to hear that from your retirement planner? It's the ultimate excuse. So I had to really dig in and go, what is guaranteed in finance? I was like, well, if you save on tax, if you save on interest, if you remove non-performing fees from your investments, if you reduce the cost of insurance by transferring risk more efficiently. And then I became a geek and a nerd for efficiency. But then I found, hey, even if people get more money, if they're not using that money properly and understanding money properly and having the proper context around money and creating a vision that's compelling enough for their life, then they don't actually have more happiness. And to me, we've got to make personal finance personal again, not transactional. And once you can see the person, listen to the person, and then leverage the person's skills, there is an explosion of wealth. And there's such a better life along the way. You don't have to wait till 65 to finally enjoy life. Shit, I'm tired now. You think I want to wait till I'm 65 to go get crunk up in the club, bro? I don't want to wait till I'm 85 to go jet skiing when I might break my damn hip. I want to have a good time today, but not be reckless, but to be intelligent and to reward myself for doing the right things.
Absolutely, Garrett. So tell life bookers how they can access not just your comedy show, but how they can take advantage of the work. Tell the whole, tell everything about the workshop.
Look, we're doing 5 workshops. So not every city is going to have a workshop on this first round, but we'll come back later.
Garrett, list the cities. Just say the cities right now. Which 5 cities get workshops?
The ones that are secured are Salt Lake City, Carlsbad, California, as long as they allow us in. And then we've got Austin, Texas. We've got Washington, D.C., back to Salt Lake City. But with demand, we're willing to do Chicago. We're willing to keep the workshops going into next year. Because look, as awesome as the comedy show is, which you know I love it, the workshop is absolutely the most transformational thing.
Well, that's where you change people's lives. Absolutely.
Totally. And there's still entertainment elements in the workshop, even though you're learning how to keep more money without budgeting, even though you're learning how to create financial independence where you have enough cash flow from assets to cover your basic expenses. And it's not a 30-year game. It's 10 years or less. And it's enjoying life along the way. But we did a test of the workshop April 16th. Now, you got to know, I've done over 100 3-day workshops since 2014. And I took the best of those 3 days and condensed it to 1 day for the financial piece, and then took a different day that we tested April 16th, which we got a 5-minute standing ovation. 80% of the room cried because it unlocked who they were. Instead of just being only about money, it was about how they create money and then how they keep money. And it's create one day, keep the next day. So we're talking about vision. We're talking about money personas. We're talking about all those factors. And I bring a level of passion, excitement, and practicality. And even if you need support, we've gone out and found partners for the last decade so we can put you in the right hands if you need support with anything that we're teaching.
Yeah, and that's for I can absolutely attest to the fact that Garrett's got an amazing team behind him that he can make available to you. What are they called, Garrett?
Accredited network. The accredited, that's right, network.
The accredited network.
You almost called them the apostles because I look like Jesus. You're like, is it the apostles? No, it's the accredited network.
He does look a little like Jesus, you guys. I want you to know that.
I'm money Jesus. And it'd be, money Jesus. You know, I don't really look like Jesus. I look like Disney Jesus. I'm like Utah Jesus. I'm like Abercrombie and Fitch Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Like the one you want to take a selfie with at Whole Foods or something.
Absolutely. Garrett, how do we find out about your workshop? I'm going to put some notes under this podcast, but why don't you, Garrett's not giving discounts to anyone in the world except life bookers, you guys.
Yeah. So GarrettGunderson.gg, you're going to see on that page, not only is there comedy, there's workshop. You can get tickets to both, or you can say, I hate fun and just come to the workshop. There's actually a button that says that. And then when you go to check out, you put in the word lifebook750. And you get a $750 discount because first, John's like, you don't need to pay me. I want to put this money in the pockets of the people at Lifebook. So pretty damn generous on John's part. So we're passing that savings on to you and getting it to you at cost, essentially. So it's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Great. Gary, I have one actual personal question about money that I've been thinking about lately, and I just love to bounce this off you before we end this podcast. And that is, the term currency, the root word is current. Money needs to flow. I've always felt money is a form of energy, and it's either, if it doesn't flow, it stagnates. That's been my experience. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of money?
You're so dialed in with that, John. So the Amazon River flows. It's so powerful. Think of all the life along the Amazon River and in the Amazon River, and it's so powerful. It actually puts miles of fresh water into the ocean. where I live in Salt Lake City, where there's the Great Salt Lake, there's no flow. It's a dead lake. There's one tiny living organism in the entire thing. So when we get stagnant with our money, which is overly emphasizing net worth instead of cash flow, our money gets stale. Cash flow can create velocity. Velocity is how the economy, when it's working well, works. And I'll just get technical for a second. We measure velocity by taking the GDP, which is the gross domestic product of a country, and divide it by the money supply. And the more times money exchanges hands, the more value is created, the higher the velocity. So when you create cash flow, you can create velocity. And cash flow is like the blood to a body, right? Like if you don't have blood flow, you die. And in finance, it's the same thing. And yet most retirement planning is about one day, someday building net worth so you can live off the interest. The problem with that, John, is right now retirees are getting 2% interest. So they might have $1 million. They're getting $20,000 and taxes go up. Now it's less than $20,000. And inflation makes that $20,000 seem like $5,000 10 years later because of how much money we're printing. But cash flow, and think of it this way, if you can get assets and entrepreneurial income, which is income that shows up if you don't do work every day, but you still monitor it over time, when that covers your basic expenses, you're not trapped in this game of accumulation where you're going, well, I need to set aside 10% of my money through budgeting and try to earn 10% on that, wait for 30 years for compound interest to work. My belief is in 3 to 7 years, you can create enough cash flow from assets, and I help find the money to do so. And then what happens is you can now take 100% of your active income and buy more assets, which gives you 10 times faster accelerator because you're focused on cash flow. Banks are into cash flow. Every financial institution's into cash flow, but teaches everyone else to accumulate. We have to accelerate, not accumulate. We have to create currency. And even money being currency is such a brilliant insight because money is a man-made efficient tool to exchange with one another so we don't have to barter, right? Yeah. It's a storage of value. That's it doesn't dictate your destiny or even reflect your potential, but it reflects what you could tap into as far as the energy that you've been created, that you've created. And so ultimately, when we create cash flow, it's like currencies like speaker wire, right? There's a current through speaker wire. If you just try to accumulate a lot of speaker wire, it doesn't put out more sound because it's just more wire. And that's what people do with net worth. I want people to learn about cash flow and creating more cash flow. It will increase velocity because money is a currency, a currency. Anything that helps to accelerate cash flow is a currency, which is value creation, serving others, solving problems, you know, inventing, innovating, using human ingenuity. Like there's so many ways to accelerate velocity when you understand currency is only one way to describe money, but it's the best way because it's really lending to cash flow.
That's great. Man, thanks for that explanation. All right, Life Bookers, this may be the best thing that you do for yourself all year. I hope that you can check out Garrett's comedy show and his workshop. Garrett, thanks so much for spending this time with us. And thanks so much for the special offer you made to Life Bookers.
Final story to conclude here.
All right.
So I went and we did the first two cities. We did Tempe Improv to a sold out crowd. And I actually gave a little speech at the end. So there was some additional value. And the club owner came up, or manager, and he said, we have hundreds of comedians, but I'll never forget tonight. The next night, we did the La Jolla Comedy Store. Scott Shore was in the crowd, like Pauly Shore, Mitzi Shore of the Comedy Store. He's the one that runs it down there. And he said, hey, this is the first standing ovation we've seen in 45 years. And we've had Robin Williams and all the greats. And he then asked if I would give him a book, Killing Sacred Cows. We gave people the money quiz. We gave people books so that they could help them out afterwards. And this is also crazy. He said, hey, look, we've had the most expensive ticket we've ever sold here is $50. Our ticket was $47. And we sold it out on a Wednesday. So he said, Andrew Dice Clay tried to charge $50 and didn't sell out. He said, this is the highest priced ticket that we've sold out and had such a huge response. So I kind of am bragging, I get it, but I'm just so excited about this, dude. Like we're going to make a transformation by planting a seed into people, help them heal with money, and we're going to have a damn good time, all of us doing it. So come and laugh and maybe even learn a little bit. And even if you don't think I'm funny, I'm going to put money in your pocket. So like my wife said, you could just kind of chuckle through and be like, ah, he's not funny, but I made a bunch of money. So whatever.
He is funny, you guys. He is really funny. Listen, I have seen the preview of his show and it's great. And we're gonna share the very beautifully produced little intro video. Thanks for letting us show that, Gary. I know that that's not public yet. I appreciate that, man.
You're one persuasive mofo. You know, you're hard to say no to, John.
All right, Lifebookers, yeah. Listen, get out and support fellow Lifebook member Garrett Gunderson, who's living the dream. Garrett, I wish you the very, very best. You're doing such an important thing in this world. Thanks so much for everything that you've offered the Lifebook community. And thanks for spending this time with me, man.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man.
Love you, too. Take care.